Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Final hour. Darren Donick, Jason DeMace. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you live here at Patron Platinum Club inside Bridgestone Arena. Tonight it's the Predators and the Penguins. A puck drop at 7 o'clock. Pregame at 6 and everything heard right here on these airwaves. Another big week for the Predators. Tonight hosting Pittsburgh. Thursday night in Philadelphia against the Flyers. Saturday night here against the Leafs. Remember, that will be a 6 o'clock start on Saturday evening, so an hour earlier than normal. And Austin Matthews with the hit, the cross check to the neck against Darlene. I knew that. It's like Dolly, you know? Darlene.
First pick in the draft. Still young, hasn't blossomed, but Buffalo, if you noticed,
has been playing better.
They've been playing. They're starting to get some good chemistry. They're better. They're scrappy. They've been knocking some teams off here recently.
And they won the Heritage Classic, happened in that game. They won 5-2. But Austin Matthews, who I'm surprised. I honestly did not think he would get suspended. And if he did, I thought it would be a game tops. Well, it's two games. So he's out tonight as Toronto is hosting Dallas. He's out Thursday night, Toronto hosting Carolina. And wah-wah back in the lineup Saturday night here against the Preds. I'm conflicted because, obviously, I think their chances increase tremendously if Austin Matthews, who leads the league in goals with 45, isn't in the lineup. But also for the fans and, you know, selfish reasons, being here, I want to see Austin Matthews play. I mean, he's a star in the league. You know, you want to see the game's best live and in person. So that will be the case. He will be here Saturday evening. And we caught up with David Poile, Predators general manager, at 11:15 for our weekly chat with him in the second hour. And pretty interesting. We've talked about it some 6 days away. The NHL traded deadline. Colorado traded for a defenseman yesterday from Anaheim.
Yeah, Josh Manson, solid veteran that's tough, been around a long time. That's a deep, deep defense.
Not Maryland, but Josh.
Nope, not any other Mansons. There's plenty of them. Insert your joke in there. But in fact, his dad, Dave, was a really good, tough player for a long, long time in the NHL. So Josh is a second generation. So he's been on the Ducks. He goes back to those nasty playoff series the Predators played with the Ducks. He fit right in.
Big physical defenseman.
Yep. And I wondered, Elliot's been saying this every time we talk to him, what's going to be the trade that gets the dominoes rolling? Because everybody's waiting. It looks like, you know, we're inside of a week now. There still hasn't been that one that starts a chain of trades. But I think there'll be a lot of defensemen dealt.
Giroux seems like the guy.
Well, you know,
that's going to get everything started.
The Predators play the Flyers
Thursday night.
That is game number 1,000 for Giroux.
It's a big night for him.
They're doing a big ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not going to trade him before then.
Nope.
But the question is, how soon after will they do that?
I mean, the question is the Preds game his last game in a Flyers sweater?
And if it is, you know, whether it is or not, you know everybody in the building is going to be thinking that.
Mm-hmm.
So the Flyers have struggled, and you might be looking at the schedule going, oh, yeah, just the Flyers. You take care of the Flyers. That's not going to be just any Flyers game. That's going to be an extremely emotional night. Because a lot of people, kind of like that last game for Pekka, where we didn't know if it was the last game, but we knew it might be, there's going to be a little extra sense in the building of this could be it. So that might not be the best night to play the Flyers. So we shall see. And tonight, you've got Sidney Crosby and company coming in. How about this for the Penguins? You think they've been playing well? Let's give you the last few games for the Penguins. Remember, early in the season, Crosby has been hurt. Malkin was hurt. They're still sitting pretty, cruising towards the playoffs again. It's just a matter of who they're going to play and can they get close to even winning the division. Here are their last several opponents. Tampa Bay Lightning, win, 5-1, on the road, at Carolina, lost in overtime. Florida Panthers lost 4-3. Vegas Golden Knights won 5-2. Carolina again won 4-2. Rangers won 1-0. So 5-1-1 against a really, really good group of teams that have gone, that come through there. Columbus is another one. They carved up, they beat Columbus 3-2. And Columbus, there's no team they hate more in that building than the Penguins. That's their number one rival. That's like the early Red Wings were for the Predators. That's Pittsburgh for Columbus. So they're playing great hockey right now. And they've got an excellent goalie in Tristan Jarry. Mike Sullivan, you know, with the pieces, you know, it's a little bit like Derek, the Bulls. When they had Pippen and Jordan, they won 6 titles. The first 3 had a lot of guys. And then the second 3, it changed a lot, right? Rodman wasn't with the first group of the first 3 titles.
No.
So they changed the. So it's like Crosby and Malkin for the Penguins. And now I would throw in Chris Letang as the third guy.
Gensel's been there for a good while now.
Right, but he doesn't go quite as far back. Like, they won a title when Hal Gill was playing and Bill Guerin, who's now a GM, when they had Crosby and Malkin. So they've won 3 titles, but a lot of the pieces change from time to time. But 2 guys never change, really 3 with Letang. And Fleury was part of that group for a long time. He's gone now. But the point is, they do a very good job of figuring out, okay, I got the 2 horses. What do I need to put around them? The Oilers are still trying to figure that out, right? Some other teams that have the Maple Leafs still trying to figure that out. How do you put the pieces around the superstars when the superstars are going to make the big money? Pittsburgh does a great job of that.
They do. Clearly, I was depressed last night or something. I was in a dark place because I was watching Ottawa and Arizona, and I think you have to be in a dark place to watch the Senators and the Coyotes. By the way, that's another one. What are they going to do with Kessel? What are they going to do with Chikrin, who, by the way, is now out 2 to 4 weeks? So you're going to be trading, if that were to happen, and I think the price tag is going to be very high, he may not be able to help you for a month. What is there? Arizona is another one that's going to be interesting to see what they do in the next 6 days.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're going to pick that roster clean.
Probably.
But it's you know, they're playing in Arizona State next year. There's not a lot to entice people to the Coyotes right now, and there's only so much you can do. You've got a salary floor that you have to keep, but
don't think that 10-cent beer night can't come back.
Yeah, I guess, but that is bleak. But Chikrin is the one that everybody's howling for. What about Kessel's another guy? Just pretty much all of their veterans are getting discussed a lot. They'll talk about anybody. But, you know, is there a fit for the Predators there? Now, keep this in mind for Nashville. Matt Benning left the game in the second period against Minnesota.
David Poile said that he does not. I asked him about Benning. Didn't really elaborate on what's going on with him. It was kind of an awkward play or hit behind the net in the middle of the second period. And he said, like I said, he didn't go into any details about what's going on with him. Said that, I think his exact words were, "I don't anticipate him being in the lineup tonight."
Yeah, so you could be without him and Borowiecki tonight, which, again, you know, you've got Myers and Harper who have played some games, but that is something that a lot of teams look at and say, do we need some depth there? And there's a lot of people out there that have players like Josh Manson, you know, expiring contracts. Is there a deal to be made out there? It's Monday. Monday's it. So between now and Monday, what do you do? And how does an injury like Benning's affect that? I don't know how long-term it is. Maybe it's not too severe. But, you know, Borowiecki's been out for what? This will be 8 out of 9 that he's missed. You never know when you're going to need those extra guys. So I would be surprised if they don't add at least a depth guy. I don't know how much of an impact person that would be. But remember, Eric Gudbranson, they traded for him last year, and you were wondering, is this guy even going to get in there? He ended up playing quite a few games because the guy's getting banged up, and I thought he played pretty well. Nothing earth-shattering, but he was an experienced guy that was useful.
David Poile did tell us that I think his words were he talked to four, he calls them managers, general managers, I think, yesterday, I think, is what he said. Or he has recently talked to four GMs. So he said they're not going to be sellers. Mm-mm. And so we will see how this – I think you're probably right, a depth piece.
But he didn't say much about being a buyer either. He was saying, you know – if it's right, because he don't want to trade away a guy in the minors.
They're not going to give away something
else. Exactly. Just to get somebody and ultimately, you know, because he talked about the chemistry as well of the team right now. And you don't want to mess up that chemistry.
And that's why they're not going to trade Forsberg. For people that, again, think if they don't get a deal in place, they're going to trade him. I think that would send a really, really – bad message to the room, and that would...
It'd be a ripple effect.
It would just... It would be... That's a tough one to explain away, right? Like, tell them... Unless someone just... I mean, just came with an absolute...
A no-brainer.
A Ricky Williams trade, a Herschel Walker trade.
Yeah.
You know, where they just were like, here...
And in your
Here's our two best players and two first-round picks. You know, obviously, I'm going to the far, far extreme. Then, yes, we get it, but... Other than that, I don't see it.
And I do remember back, because everybody is, well, let's pick this up on the other side if you want. The Ryan Suter thing, of course, is the worst nightmare, and everybody's going to have it in the back of their mind.
And everybody understands
that. And at the time, people were saying, hey, the right hockey move might be to trade him. Mm-hmm. And they didn't do it, and you saw what happened.
We'll discuss that on the other side. Also, people have made us, and they're 100% right. It's not like I needed to go look it up, but something that's been brought to our attention about the previous conversation concerning Brett Favre, and they're right. Like we should have said that, but I think it was. But we'll get into that as well on the other side. As you listen to the DDC ESPN 102.5 The Game. If you're looking for a place to hang Thursday evening and watch the Predators tangle with the Flyers in Philadelphia. There's a Preds Bud Light watch party at Headquarters Beercade. Drink specials, plus a chance to win tickets to an upcoming home game. It's Headquarters Beercade, located 114 2nd Avenue South, downtown. Remember, that puck drop is at 6 o'clock. Keep that in mind on Thursday evening. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, and Derek Mason with you. What I was going to read from the text line that a bunch of people... Mm-hmm. texted in, and I think maybe you confused. I'd have to know when you brought that in, because I thought we were just talking about back-to-back, and then you threw in the wrinkle of drafting.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, well, they didn't draft Brett Favre. He sat in Atlanta holding a clipboard.
Yeah, for a year. It was for a year.
Was it a year? Or
yeah, no, was it wasn't just long. A year? It was just, it wasn't long. He didn't sit in Atlanta for long. So, because Atlanta had, who did they have then? Was it, God, what's the quarterback from Illinois?
Yep. Chris.
No. Nope.
It wasn't Chandler. It wasn't no. Chris Chandler.
Not Chris Chandler.
It was the guy from Illinois.
You're right.
What's the quarterback?
My wheelhouse, too. They made the playoffs with him.
Yep.
What is his name? Oh, my goodness.
He was there a year. You're right.
Yeah, it was there a year. God, what was his name?
He was drafted in the second round, too. They gave up on him.
Quick.
By the way, 33rd pick. So right out of the gates in the second round, they drafted him, and they traded him away after a year?
Mm-hmm. This is going to drive me crazy.
Jeff George.
Yeah. Jeff George. They had another guy, too. I'm trying to remember.
You're not talking about DeBerg.
No.
That was,
they did have DeBerg a little later when they had Chandler. DeBerg was like 55 years old.
Yeah.
They had Jeff George at the time.
Yeah, it was Jeff George.
They did have Jeff George.
And you see why they traded him away, because Jeff was still in his prime. Like, Jeff was a really good quarterback, and they had the whole run-and-shoot offense, and he fit that offense. I don't think Brett Favre fit the run-and-shoot offense they were running.
Yep.
And they end up dealing him away to the Packers. So
yep,
I've got to look this guy up. I'm thinking of a different.
I don't know who you're thinking.
Yeah,
of.
I don't know who you're thinking.
I'll find it here.
I'm thinking of Atlanta quarterbacks.
Yeah, I think it was a little bit before Jeff George is what I'm thinking of. He wasn't great, but Jeff George was a talented guy. He had a rocket for an arm. He never seemed to put it all together. But
he could throw it from here through that window over there, man, over in that other building.
Well, who was the one that took him to the 98 to the Super Bowl?
That was Chris Chandler.
That was Chandler?
That's Chandler, yeah.
That was post-Oilers. Remember, he went from the Oilers. They cleared the way for Steve McNair. He goes on to Atlanta and had maybe his best year, obviously his best year.
Yeah.
That's right. All right. So let's talk about what you brought up, the Forsberg thing. So go back to what we were discussing, and let's discuss it further, Willie.
Well, back in 2012, the Predators were having a very good season, and Ryan Suter was a free agent at the end of the season. They sort of hit a wall in negotiations. And the vibe, I would have to say, was that, you know, Ryan Suter was definitely waffling at best.
It was
right.
It was very much a 50-50.
Now, let me just give a disclaimer.
At best,
I do not sense the same vibe from Philip Forsberg. I do believe David Poile, and believe me, David Poile has been through this, so he's, I'm sure, looking for this even more so than he was in 2012. But I think the vibe Ryan Suter put out was, I don't know if I want to be here. You know, I might be saying the right things, but it just sensed that it wasn't a shoe-in, that there was some doubt. And that was a little bit of his personality, right? He was kind of like that. So you didn't know if at the end of the day, you'll get him. Why would you not want to play with Shea Weber and Pecorine? Those three guys at the time were really coming into their own, young players going into their prime. But at the end of the year, they rode it out. And I remember at the time, they were in contention for a playoff spot. They weren't a powerhouse, but they were a good team. They had won a playoff series the year before. And I remember somebody very close to the situation saying, you know what, the hockey move might be to trade him. But if we trade him, our whole thing changes. Our whole locker room changes. We become a completely different team if we don't have Ryan Suter. So how can we do that? And that was why I think they didn't do it. If it was just about a fantasy hockey trade or something like that, and you didn't have personalities and roles and chemistry.
It was a good team.
It was a good team, but it would have been a completely different team without Ryan Suter.
Which one was better, this one or that one?
I think this is a younger team.
Mm-hmm.
I think the same is true. If you were to turn around and trade Philip Forsberg, you would not be the same team. I don't know if you could make the playoffs with whatever you got back, but I don't. It changes the formula so much. That's why at the end of the day, I just don't think you could do it. You certainly don't want to do it, but the worst case did happen. They played it out with Ryan Suter. They made the playoffs. They won the first round. They beat the Red Wings. Went into the second round, and it went wrong, unfortunately. They were not able to beat the Coyotes, a team that they very well could have beaten. They were good enough to do it. Mike Smith played a great series. They had all the issues with the incident that happened in Scottsdale. They had to suspend Radulov and the Kostitsyns, you know, that whole debacle. But then the next thing you know, Ryan Suter was gone. He took it right on into free agency, and I can remember the 4th of July. I think it was 4th of July. It was about a day into the free agency. Suter still had not made his choice, and they were still optimistic he would come back. And then, you know, they announced that he and Zach Parise were going to Minnesota, which ended up
in
monster deals, and it probably ended up being a good thing for the Predators.
Well, it's going to affect them this year after this season.
Oh, yes.
It's going to affect all that dead money is going to affect them.
So it wasn't as bad. It was a short-term bad because the team took a step back. But then the way was paved for Roman Josi and Ryan Ellis and Matthias Ekholm to eventually come in, and they were fine. Ended up being better than maybe they would have been. I don't know what they would have done with all those guys if Ryan Suter had stayed. But what would Roman Josi have done the next few years? It would have certainly hamstrung his ability to develop. Same thing with Ellis and Ekholm. So you learn from these things, but my gut feeling still is, and I sense this again in David Poile's answer, They want to get a deal done. Both sides would. I think Philip Forsberg, at the end of the day, he wants to get a deal done here. Now, maybe he's fooling all of us and just not showing his cards. Ryan Suter, you could see the cards a little bit, right? You just had this sense like, really? You don't want to be here? But like, you didn't want to believe him. But he would drop hints here and there. And it wasn't the same vibe. I don't know. It's not over until...
Well, I think what was perplexing is we were certainly saying that. We were definitely saying that. And I think what was perplexing is it seemed like they had a different vibe.
Yeah, David Poile, I think, read a quote that he had written down in his notebook from a conversation feeling like he had that, that he was... Ryan Suter wanted to be there. So he took issue with that. Now, remember Mikhail Granlund, it went right down to the wire last year, and they got him back. Mm-hmm. And thank goodness they did.
I still think, and I said this yesterday, I think, and I know it's a scary proposition because of what we're talking about, I still think at this point I would probably be surprised if they were able to work out a new deal in the next 6 days. So, but I don't think, well, I don't think, I do not believe for a minute they're going to trade him away if they don't have a new deal. So that puts them back in that scary area, right, where you now have to trust all the conversations that you've had, all the talks that you've had to this point. That time invested will play out however long it takes to actually come up with the deal in place, but it'll be a very scary proposition for people, for sure, for fans to be like, are you kidding me? Like, oh my gosh.
A deal
is he really going to get away for nothing?
I don't think he's leaving. I don't think it would really surprise me if they get a deal done before the deadline, which would mean somebody had to cave in. But I do believe they get it done right after the season or before the season ends. I believe he gets the deal done that makes both parties happy. I think it will be a little bit more than what David wanted to pay, but I think it'll be a little less than what Forsberg and his camp wanted.
All right, now I have the quarterback that I was thinking of. Pre-Jeff George, Chris Miller. It was a Chris. I said Chris. You guys were thinking Chandler, and I couldn't remember. Chris Miller?
Who in the world?
Chris Miller.
Doesn't ring a bell.
Yeah, I don't know who he is.
He started over Brett Favre, 1991. Chris Miller, and I'm sure Falcon fans are like, really, you're going to bring that up?
Chris Miller.
Chris Miller was their starter.
He sounds more like the center for like the Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah.
Like
Chris
old
Miller
Atlanta
was
Hawks
the starter for the Falcons on some not so good teams from 1988 through 1992.
What? He was clearly like that long?
Clearly I never had his card.
Yeah, I never had his card either.
Chris Miller.
He went 9 and
if I did, it wouldn't be worth anything.
In 1991 with Brett Favre on the team, he went 9-5 as a starter. The other guy that started, Billy Joe Tolliver.
I know who Billy Joe Tolliver is.
Remember him.
Yes. Remember Billy Joe Tolliver.
And that team went 10-6 with Chris Miller as the starter under Jerry Glanville.
You bought Chris Miller card for 50 cents, and it probably still is worth
no, 50 cents. No, it's not.
Less than 50 cents.
It's gone down. It's definitely gone down.
Sounds fake.
We had to bring Chase into the conversation yesterday to, you know, break the news with him and just discuss. There's been a new layer to that conversation.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll talk about that on the other side of the DDC, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Good music, getting you in the mood. For what? I'm not sure. Maybe tonight's game. That would get me in the mood, for sure.
Get you in the mood for a Predator win.
I'll tell you what. There you go. I like where your head's at, D-Mace. You know what else would probably get you in the mood? Get you in the right mood, in the right frame of mind.
What's that?
If you signed an 8-year, $168 million guaranteed deal, wouldn't that get you in the right mood?
Oh,
would you be here with us? If you did that,
do you want me to be?
I want the honest
answer. I don't mean to flatter you, make you feel.
No,
good.
I don't. I don't want you sugarcoated.
Okay, no.
How far away would you be? Would you even respond to a text?
Oh, yeah, I respond to a text. Yeah, definitely. I respond
so
to
you
a
wouldn't,
text.
So you wouldn't be like, peace out, don't know you?
Yeah, y'all text me, I'm like, this is no longer Derek's phone number.
Or who is this?
No, I wouldn't do that. I would never do that. But that is a nice chunk of change.
Promise?
Promise. That is a nice chunk of change.
It is a nice chunk of change, and that is what Matt Olson has signed for.
And that will be something to watch for now, because a lot of people are saying, okay, from a monetary standpoint and an age standpoint, he's 4 years younger than Freddie Freeman.
Mm-hmm.
You got him locked up at $21 million per year. That looks like a pretty good buy. Freddie Freeman, you know, obviously at 32 is looking for more than that, or else he'd be a Brave. You would think. So, what does Freddie Freeman end up getting? Now, there were some reports after our show yesterday that Freddie Freeman was taken completely by surprise by this. He had no idea that they were ready to strike and make a move like that.
That's not what Brian Snitker. So is that, I said Snitker.
Snitker.
Just added a little extra.
Not to be confused.
A little extra for Brian.
Former Commodore Brant Snitker. Brian Snitker, Brant Snitker. You were somewhere in between on the spectrum there.
Somebody close to those guys. He was acting like, yeah, we knew this was, you know, you never know with free. I mean, it was just like, whoa. Like he certainly wasn't like, well, this is a really sad day. We did not expect to get to this point. We didn't expect to be here talking. He was like, you know, it's free agency. These things happen. And, you know, we knew it could be in the cards.
Mm.
So I was like,
okay.
Could
be in the cards. But and the other part of it is, you know, the season is here. They had that whole lockout. You got to move pretty quick. You can't just sit around and wait a whole lot longer.
Everything is at a fast pace now.
Yeah, so... But here's the thing, going back to, once again, you change the formula. That's what everybody really is questioning, is Olson for Freeman on a numbers platform, really not that much of a difference. Matt Olson could probably give you a pretty high percentage of what Freeman has been giving you, and he's younger, so he can probably do it for longer. But what about the chemistry shakeup? Freddie Freeman, unquestioned leader in the clubhouse, on the field. He is your spiritual leader, as Hal Gill likes to say, the spirit animal, right? He's the guy. He's the guy that drives everything. So can Matt Olson, how does he take to that coming in there? He's from Atlanta, Matt Olson. Probably grew up watching Freddie Freeman to some, you know, he's probably a teenager when Freddie Freeman was just breaking into the major leagues.
Mm-hmm.
So can he flourish in his hometown? Sometimes coming back to your hometown is not as easy. Especially when you got big shoes to fill. So,
well, I think
it's an interesting thing.
I think if it's your first stop, like if you get drafted by your home team, that's a little bit difficult, especially if you get drafted high and they're expecting a lot from you. You're still a little immature and you still hadn't found your way through the professional ranks. I think that would be difficult. He shouldn't have a problem now. It's a grown man, matured. He understands
it. You would think.
Yeah, he understands it. You know, so it shouldn't be a problem.
But that does officially, not that we didn't know this, I'm just saying it officially closes the door on that. So,
Chase.
Yeah.
Man.
In fact, somebody even.
You think Chase had hope?
Yeah, I think he had hope. He had more than hope.
Hope. Somebody on our text line says, he's not leaving, in quotations. Any Braves fan calls BS that says he's not leaving. Yeah, well, no, he said it is a lock. His words, it is a lock he's coming back. No chance he's not a Brave for life.
Ooh.
Oops. Oops.
Well, somebody must have given him the memo.
Oops. I tried to help him, but, I mean, I get it, man. He
can come back around in 2, 3, 4 years.
I've seen people on our text line ask, are they going to, you know, would he be in the Ring of Honor? You know, would they honor him? I don't know. I mean, if he plays another 5 years somewhere else, what do you think?
I mean, if they
Freeman?
Still.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it depends on what happens from here on. how productive he stays. I think he's got a, he's one of those guys that's got a shot. First baseman are hard.
Yeah.
You got to put up the numbers. Like Todd Helton, not really getting very far right now. He's got great looking numbers. Of course, the Coors Field thing clouds some things, but like a Steve Garvey, you know, there's a lot of really, really good first basemen. Really good first basemen that aren't Hall of Famers. John Olerud. I mean, you can go through Don Mattingly. So I think the longevity will be the key for.
I'm saying, would the Braves honor him one day?
Oh, nice.
See, people on the text line, I was like, well.
He's been there.
I
mean, he was there, what, 11 years, 10 12, years?
And 12, he is Mr. Braves. Like, he's beloved, but. Yeah.
Unless he does something.
And they won the World Series. They won it.
They did.
Him.
You're right.
He
that
will get honored.
Big.
He will get honored.
Even if he plays the next five years with the Dodgers?
It doesn't matter.
I think so.
It doesn't matter. He won a World Series with that team.
Okay. Fair enough. I'm not pushing back on that.
It would be smart if they did.
He played a year or two. Like, yeah, no-brainer. But I'm saying, what if he signs a five-year guaranteed deal and he plays five more years?
But he still won a championship with this team, and he was with them over a decade. Okay. So as a organization, the right thing would be to honor him as a player. It just would be. I mean, it's not like he was, you know, he was a bad person and people hated him in the organization, and they were just waiting to get him out of there.
Yeah, look, I get, you know, I'm trying to – how long has Shea been gone?
He was traded – in 2016.
16?
Yeah. The summer of 2016.
So I can't sit here and say, well, when he's officially done, officially, okay, I think he's done, but when he's officially done, I think I can't sit here and say, well, I think he's going to be honored here when he went somewhere else and played. Now, you know, again, that wasn't Freddie's choice unless Freddie was behind the scenes, you know, maybe he forced this. I don't know. Shea was traded.
Exactly.
Okay. You know, he played in the Stanley Cup last year with Montreal, so I can't sit there and say the Predators are going to honor Shea one day, but yet they wouldn't honor, the Braves wouldn't honor Freddie. Because to your guys' point, yeah, they just won the World Series. So, yeah, it's probably going to happen.
Mm-hmm. I think it would be the right thing to do.
Yeah. Now that I think about it, it will happen. And his popularity is, I don't know, he'd have to go Jack Eichel in Buffalo and just start saying some crazy stuff about Braves fans for him to ruin that moment. I mean, Jack Eichel went savage on Buffalo last week.
Boy, did he ever. Holy cow.
I don't think he will get honored.
Can you imagine?
In Buffalo.
No.
Jack Eichel will not get honored.
They might throw snowballs at him if he come back.
Man. Can you imagine the PR guy for Vegas? As he's sitting there next to the podium when he starts doing that, his jaw must have dropped. Like, well, Jack, what are you doing?
I think he just run Jack Eichel night at Buffalo anytime soon.
The funny thing was he tried to lay it on so thick the day before. Oh, I love my time in Buffalo. The day before the game. Uh-huh. Oh, I have nothing but great things.
And then he gets
Buffalo.
Booed the entire game.
Then he got booed. And then he slammed him at the end of the game. The true colors came out.
Yeah.
Well, he figured if they don't like me, I don't like them either, I guess. So, Buffalo fans, you started it.
I had flowers in my locker. I threw them out. But I'm not giving them to you now.
I think they
sense. Getting ready to give away free tickets. Nope.
Keeping them. Mm-mm. We're going to come back. I'm going to give you some odds, right? We're all looking to fill out our brackets. We're all looking for some tips. I'm going to give you some odds that are out there on teams. See if you guys, what kind of percentages are they? It's the site 538. They do a great job with analytics, right, and projecting things.
Yes.
So let's see what they're projecting for March Madness. But first, Willie, I project right now, this is 100% guaranteed, you're going to talk about Lee Company.
It's a good projection. That is correct. We're going to make that happen. We're now calling it. It's time to talk about Lee Company. And I will project that Lee Company will be a big part of our radio coverage tonight from a sponsorship standpoint as Darren takes the microphone at 6 o'clock to get you ready for our Predators and Penguins tonight. It's a big game in Smashville. Lee Company, proud sponsor, Nashville Predators. And as we've been talking about, it's time to make sure you're on top of things at your house. That's why they have the home maintenance plan, so you don't have to be constantly thinking about it. Because if you're a part of the home maintenance plan, they'll call you when it's time to check up on your air conditioning. So right about this time of the year is when you'll get the call if you're part of the home maintenance plan. Time to check the AC unit. In the winter, the plumbing. I'm sorry, in the winter, the heating, plus the plumbing and the electric systems. Those are the four checkups you get. It's just like going to the dentist. Home maintenance plan, small monthly fee, discounts when repairs are needed. So check it out at LeeCompany.com or give them a call, 615-567-1000 for Lee Company.
It is, Jim. It's the end. Mm-hmm. Almost. Here on the DDC. The question is, who will be at the end of the NCAA tournament? Tonight, two games in Dayton, two more games tomorrow night in Dayton. So those games are going to get played, and then it's on, like Donkey Kong, Thursday. So who has the best odds of cutting down the nets, according to 538?
I mean,
on Twitter.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say Gonzaga.
I agree. The Zags.
Wrong. Tennessee.
Seriously?
Nope. No. No, I'm not,
Arizona.
Not serious at all.
Arizona.
Gonzaga.
Oh, Gonzaga. I was about to say, oh, okay.
Adam for a second.
I thought it was obvious.
Steve Ace is like, see, I told you my bracket was right. He's got Tennessee winning it all.
No, I don't have Tennessee winning it all, but I got him going far.
Okay. Who is second?
Arizona.
And our guest at 10:15 would disagree with this because he had issues with this team.
Kentucky.
I'm going to say
No.
Joe Fortenbaugh was really good, by the way.
I'm going to say first Arizona is the number two.
No. He had problems with.
Now, Arizona has the injury.
See, Willie didn't hear the conversation. Yeah. D-Mace is,
Kansas.
He is sniffing it out, and he is right.
Kansas.
Kansas. Joe did not like Kansas.
Yeah. Okay. Kansas has the point guard that has gotten healthy. Arizona lost their point guard
Kreese.
In the tournament.
Was it Kreese? Is that his name?
Kerr Kreese.
Kreese. Yeah.
Kerr Kreese.
Kerr Kreese.
He has the number 25, which is Steve Kerr. He actually and played for Arizona. But Kerr Kreese puts his first name on the back. So it's Kerr 25. So you're confused. Like, is that Steve Kerr's son? Is that Steve
Kerr? He was named after Steve Kerr.
He is named after
Steve
Kerr.
No, I know. But the first time I saw that, I did think that.
That's what I thought, too. Kerr Kreese. But he's not from – he's – what country is he from, Elijah?
Estonia,
yeah. Mm. But he –
So he's got he's injured. They've got Kansas.
So he's done.
Not done.
No. He didn't say he was because I asked him specifically.
An ankle, so it's how quick can he come back from the ankle?
Who's an injury we should keep close tabs on and that could affect you? And he brought him up, but they haven't said one way or the other. If you noticed, he was like, I think Arizona can get through like basically the first weekend without him. Right? He was like saying, I think. In other words, he's like saying, I don't think they're going to have him, but I think they're going to need him. And I think that's when people are going to ask the questions. Is this guy going to be available when they start getting, if they get past the Sweet 16? Okay. So they have Gonzaga 1, Kansas 2. Our guest at 10:15, Joe Fortenbaugh, would probably push back on that. He did not love Kansas. Who's 3?
Baylor.
So who was 2? Was it Kansas or Arizona?
Kansas.
Kansas was 2.
So Arizona's got to be 3, right?
No.
No?
Kansas is 4. I mean, Arizona is 4.
So it's not Baylor.
It's not Baylor.
Kentucky.
Tennessee.
It is Kentucky.
Wow.
I told you. I just don't
trust. Gonzaga, Kansas, Kentucky. Derek then went on after Joe Fortenbaugh. He does not trust Kentucky.
They don't.
Well, when I said that about Tennessee, they haven't lost since then, so you probably just put Kentucky on a big winning streak.
No, I didn't. Because teams are going to look back at how UT played them. In all three games, not just the last game they played them in the SEC tournament, but all three games. And it made it very difficult for Sheboy to really have a dominant game, which means those other guys around them have to be able to shoot the three-pointer, because they're not taking no mid-range shots. They're taking three-pointers. And if a team finds a way to make it difficult for him with bigs, he gets in foul trouble, it's going to be a long day for Kentucky.
At D-Mace. What's your Twitter handle so we can make
at
sure?
DMason85, I believe that's what it is.
Yeah.
85. Send 85, those tweets 85. His way. Yeah, bring them on. I want the smoke. Bring it. Bring it.
DMason85. D E E. Mason.
Yeah, bring
85.
The smoke.
That's where you need Kentucky fans. Send your ats. I've already heard from the Tennessee
and,
fans.
Yeah,
so.
Tennessee fans have vouched for me.
Gonzaga, Kansas, Kentucky, Arizona. Who does 538 like next to cut down the nets?
Purdue.
Yeah, I would say Purdue.
Purdue is seventh.
Wow. Would it be Baylor then?
No, it would not.
It better not be Duke. I tell you that
Auburn.
Right now.
It is Auburn.
No,
how
I don't
about
trust.
That?
Oh, wow. My goodness.
I know. What
either.
Made you say that?
Oh, I don't know.
I was like, they're never going to get this.
No.
Auburn could. Auburn is so crazy the way they play. They could go on a roll and be untouchable, but they could have that game. Now, maybe they got it out of their system against Texas A&M. Sometimes they do, it's the double-edged sword of Bruce Pearl. He gives you the green light. Mm-hmm. He will give you the confidence. Darren, I have confidence in you. Go do
oh, he's not going to discourage
I'm
it.
I'm taking the reins off. But that means you're going to see some wacky shots where you sit there and go, what in the world? They got Jabari Smith standing over here in the corner, and that guy just jacked one up from 29 feet. Yep, they did. They do it every game.
And Bruce Pearl will not bat an
they
eye.
They got Walker nope. Kessler down there on the block, 7 foot,
nope.
whatever he
He's
did.
Not going to call timeout to
nope.
chew him out.
Nope.
He's not going to
nope.
do it.
So the guy coming off the bench, hadn't played the whole game, threw the legs. Step back three. Oh, yeah. Yep. He's coming up there. He's got the green light, baby.
I guess they play that song. What's yeah. the song called? Green light. Dun, 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 dun. Green light.
They got the green light.
Villanova, six. They do not like Baylor.
They don't.
So Gonzaga, Kansas, Kentucky, Arizona, Auburn, Villanova,
where
Purdue.
Is UT in the mix anywhere?
So the East region. They like Baylor to come out of the East region. Or actually, that's not true.
No, I can't see.
The highest rating in the East, they've got Kentucky, then UCLA, then Purdue. How about that? They've got UCLA over Purdue, then Baylor.
I got Baylor losing to the winner. Well, I got Baylor losing to
Marquette.
Do you
have Baylor all the way to the end?
No, I got Baylor losing to Marquette. I got Marquette beating North Carolina.
Wow. Okay. By the way, they like St. Mary's after UCLA, then Texas, then Murray State. All those teams are ahead of North Carolina and Marquette. Interesting. All right. That will do it for our show today. Yes, it is closing time. Predators and Penguins tonight, 7 o'clock puck drop, pregame at 6. Everything right here after Stillman and Company. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock. See you then.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.